You know the 80s miss you, right?
Let me guess. No one even talks face to face anymore.
Here? We're out until the streetlights come on. You should stay. The world feels real here.
We've got mixtapes, Friday night diners, cruising down Burnside in your friend's Camaro. What's 2025 got?
Yo, what are you even doing in 2025? Out there, it looks like everyone's glued to their phones, chasing nothing. No block parties, no Friday night hangouts.
Do you even remember what it's like to really be here? Out here, time doesn't race, it breathes. And if you've forgotten that, then maybe that's why the 80s are calling you back.
Yo, you coming or what?
You don't get it. The 80s wasn't just about neon lights or mixtapes. It was about being here, actually being with people. No screens in your face, no noise from the future. Just the moment. The 80s miss you. We all do. Maybe it's time you came back.
That video really hit. That resonated with me, especially after my experience yesterday. I was in Burnsville, Minnesota, which is the city that's adjacent to where I graduated high school in Apple Valley. Apple Valley didn't have a mall, so everybody in the surrounding communities all went to the Burnsville Center, went to the Burnsville Mall. And that's where we would all hang out. The parking lot was always just full of cars. The place was full of life. People were standing in line at the food court. Some people were just hanging out for the day. They were at the arcade. Other people were in a hustle and bustle situation. They had to get in and get out. People were exchanging fake fiat currency for goods. Everything was very full of life. Especially at the holiday season or now back to school season, parents were out shopping. I was there yesterday and the place is just a ghost town. It's a barren wasteland. In the parking lot, there are no cars other than some car rental company had filled up the parking lot with cars that they were storing there, probably providing, you know, some sort of a payment to the people that own the property that the mall sits on because they can't survive because there's just no more customers anymore. All of the stores on the inside have shut down. The big department stores have now been replaced by online commerce. Everything is a ghost town. Everywhere that you go, under these gray skies, when was the last time that you saw a big, deep, blue, bright sky? They've been wiped away. It's all been erased by the chemicals and the poisons and the toxins and heavy metals that are constantly being sprayed over us. Everything has this haze to it that we're told is wildfires that were sparked by some eagle that grabbed a fish in Canada and dropped it atop power lines. I mean, it's all just so fake and dystopian and dark and gloomy and vacant. It's just a ghost town. We don't have times like the 80s. I mean, I grew up, I was born in 1980. I spent most of my childhood growing up in the 80s and 90s. People were outside. You had to be to associate, to form and develop and nurture relationships, to foster new friendships, to keep friendships. You had to be around people, exchanging ideas, talking to one another in person, seeing facial expressions. And now the weeds are just overgrown. There's black thugs leaning up against the corner of the building, waiting for some car to pull up for 20 seconds to exchange some fake fiat currency for some heroin or meth or fentanyl. And if you look at them too long, you'll probably get shot. They'll chase you down. Some mob of blacks will jump out of some bush somewhere that's been overgrown by the corner of the former JCPenney's, drag you out of your vehicle at gunpoint, beat it out of you, leave you for dead, and take your car along with all the belongings that were in it. I mean, we have seen this happen in America at breakneck speed. The American aesthetic is just dead. American culture has just been thrown in the trash, and it's been replaced by this dystopian, I don't know, this cultureless corporate iconography that just looks terrible. It's meant to demoralize the American people, to alienate us from our roots and our common memories. Everybody remembers, it seems like just yesterday, throughout the summer of love in 2020, going into 2021, monuments, and not just to Confederate generals, but to America's founding fathers or any random white person, were being torn down all over the country. And it's still happening, by the way. And they're being replaced with statues of George Floyd or Martin Luther King, the communist Jew-run pervert. And all of this is done very intentionally. It's on purpose. It's meant to send you a very direct message. And that message is that your country is no longer yours. Your heroes are no longer your heroes. American flags outside of all of these businesses, even some publicly owned buildings, have been taken down and replaced with rainbow pervert pedophile pride flags. And who could forget the corporate rebranding frenzy? Some of America's most iconic brands, they're just gone. Uncle Ben's, Aunt Jemima's, Land O'Lakes, they all changed their names. They erased their mascots, both. because they were racist. That's what we were told. Sports teams were involved with all of this too. The Cleveland Indians, for example, the Washington Redskins. What are they now? They've been turned into these cultureless, rootless teams called the Guardians and the Commanders. It's gay. It's uninspiring and it's gay. Just like this new Cracker Barrel logo. Have you seen this? If you haven't heard by now, the iconic American brand Cracker Barrel, which has always had this logo featuring a throwback style American sitting next to a barrel, well, that's been erased now. That American icon is gone. It's been replaced with this big yellow blob with the words Cracker Barrel scribbled across the front of it. It looks terrible. It's disgusting. And people will say, well, it's just a logo. Who really cares? Why are we covering this? Well, it shouldn't surprise you in the least that this terrible new logo is the brainchild of Cracker Barrel's CEO, a woman called Julie Fiesmacino, who wears these gigantic Jew glasses. And while her last name, Fiesmacino, sounds Italian, her middle name, or maybe it's her maiden name, is Ashkenazi. Big surprise, right? I mean, these people ruin everything. And whether she's actually a Jewess or not, it doesn't really matter. Because the overarching theme here is that corporate America has been completely and totally subverted by the Jew. It's taken on a leading role in just chipping away at every sector of American culture. And this woman didn't just ruin the Cracker Barrel logo. They're literally redesigning the inside of all of their restaurants as well. Soon they'll probably just be building them out of glass like every other corporate restaurant chain. Everything around you, from cars, restaurants, houses, they're all turning into mass-produced pieces of shit. It's like the old movies from the 60s, where in the dystopian future, everybody follows the government's orders and everything is gray and fake and gay, and now that's just real life. It's not funny, but Toad the comedian has some things to say on this. He joins us now. Toad, thanks a lot for coming. Appreciate you being here. I mean, have you noticed this? Have you noticed that everywhere you go, things are just dark and they're just gray? You know, lawn isn't mowed. Things aren't manicured. Weeds are growing up where nice rock beds used to be at your big, you know, mall or shopping center. There's no cars parked in the parking lot, except for if some, you know, local car rental place, some budget or something, stores their cars there. And you know that the people that own the building are just trying to, you know, generate any income that they possibly can before they just bulldoze it all down and turn it all into a 15-minute city. It's depressing.
It is. Yeah, I've certainly noticed it. I mean, obviously we have like the disappearance of malls, which doesn't even really make sense because like who's going to go shopping in this like thing that's all outside? You have to be out, like, especially up here. I'm in New England. You have winter for half the year, basically. Like, are people really going to be walking around outside in the cold to do their shopping? Like,
no, and people aren't going to indoor malls either anymore. I mean, I don't know when the last time was that I went to the Mall of America, set aside the, you know, outside circumstance that I bring a guest there who just absolutely has to go there that's not from Minnesota. Frankie Stocks was actually just in town. Reluctantly, I took him and his kid there because they had to see Legoland or whatever the hell it is. But I don't want to go there because there's a bunch of n****s with guns there, you know, and right. Unpredictable, yeah. Like these just like animals that'll just come out of nowhere and grab your 3-year-old child and throw him off the third level balcony for just no apparent reason other than they just hate white people. And this is the brownification of America. This is the Jewification of America. This is international Jewry combined with the corporate government crime syndicate that we call a federal government. That's just made it illegal, really, to be outside. It's just like it's unpleasant, and they do that on purpose to demoralize you, to keep you inside, conditioning you to live inside of that pod and eat bugs and own nothing and be happy. Who's really happy with this? I mean, are you out talking to people that are just smiling and full of life these days?
No, and well, since I got fired, I haven't been like into the city of Boston as often as I used to be because I was going in every single day back then. You could see it, you know, I mean, it's just happening more and more, like the streets are less and less safe. You see all these stories in Boston, just stabbing, shootings all over the place now, and it was a relatively safe city for quite a while. It's becoming way less safe, even though we have a Chinese communist mayor who is out there saying that she's made it the safest it's ever been, which is the complete opposite of what's true. Boston, actually, if you've seen what Boston City Hall looks like, Boston City Hall is actually like the structure that you want to look at as far as like everything that is representative of what's gray and demoralizing and anti-human that's going on right now. Boston, it's like this big, like, brutalist architecture structure, and it's like everybody agrees that it's one of the most ugly buildings ever created. And it's like, well, why is that? It's because they want the government to be represented by this huge, like, looming, powerful structure. You have to look up at it, be demoralized by it. You can't do anything about it. Like, you can't go up against these people, essentially. Like, that's what they want. But like you said, they also want everybody inside all the time now. Like, the streets are not safe anymore, so you have to stay inside just because of that. Yeah, I mean, I grew up in the 90s, man, when everything was more colorful. You had, like, McDonald's play places, and it was, you know, way more fun for kids back then. Taco Bell was, like, vibrant, you know, all these colors. And now you go to one, and it's all just gray, like, uniform, basically. Yeah, I mean, all that stuff is taken over, and that's why the Cracker Barrel thing is a big deal. Like, it's not specifically that logo that's a big deal, but everybody kind of complains about me complaining about the logo, and I'm like, well, you don't get it, because this is just another example of what's going on, like, bigger picture. We're being demoralized. Everything, like, the human element is being removed from everything. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I mean, you have to.
What we're showing on the screen here is a great and tremendous video that was posted to X. And this is saying, you know, the 80s miss you. The 80s are calling you back. Are you coming or what? We used to hang out. We used to go to movies. We used to be on the block. We used to ride our bikes. The neon lights and mixtapes. It was about just being here, actually being with people and being outdoors. No screens in your face, no noise from the future, just the moment. You remember those days? I mean, I was born in 1980, so I was relatively young going through the 80s. But even into the 90s, that's what society was about. That's what it was like to live in America. You know, real communication with people. You had to be outside in order to communicate. You had to be out of your home to, you know, like, maintain and establish friendships and relationships. You had to go outside to meet people. You had to be in public areas, like the mall, for example. I mean, you know, I mean, it's no secret. Guys used to go to the mall, I mean, trying to pull, you know, whatever. I mean, this was, you were hanging out with your guys. You were hanging out with the boys. You were doing things. You know, I didn't come home until the streetlights came on. I know that it sounds cliche, but that's really like how I lived my life. My dad, if you were to go stop at my house, because there was no cell phones, there was no pagers, nobody answered their landline phone, you know, and so friends had to, like, stop by to see if you're around. Hey, you know, knock on the door, like, hey, can you come out and play? You know, do you want to go ride the bike? Do you want to go to the park and throw the football? Do you want to go pick up game of baseball? Like, that's just not something that happens anymore. These kids literally, and their parents allow this, they should be tried. They should be put on trial, actually, for what they've done to their children. But they allow them to just sit in their basements constantly, just reading, you know, nonsense from their public schools that's filled with degenerate porn and filth. And that's if they're doing their homework. But if they're not doing their homework, getting properly indoctrinated by this perverted pedophilic public education system that we have in America, what it's turned into, these Weimar 2.0 conditions, where literally it's a spiritual battlefield that they walk into every day so that they can be groomed for molestation by their social worker or by their teacher and propagandized into believing that it's normal for them to have a sexual relationship with an adult or that they're truly unhappy because they haven't quite made the decision to cut their dick and balls off yet and that they were born in the wrong body. So they need all of these hormone pills and all these puberty blockers. This is modern America. This is America in 2025. And when they're not reading all of the aforementioned material that gets sent home with them by the Department of Education, they're playing these video games. They're living with their VR glasses on. You know, they're live streaming and they're watching live streams and the information superhighway and they're scrolling shorts and all of it. Everything points them in the direction of accepting this dystopian, degenerate Weimar 2.0 pornographic, pedophilic lifestyle that they will never fight back against because this is just what they're supposed to accept as modern day America. And being an American growing up in America, I mean, they can't even look around and see predominantly white people. When was the last time that, you know, you saw a group of white people hanging out? You just don't see that anymore. There's no concentration of white people anywhere that you go. It's all browns. It's all Indians. It's all blacks. It's all unpredictable savages with knives and guns that will just explode for no apparent reason at all whatsoever and start big melees at high school basketball games. You know, 12U baseball games, you have parents fighting each other, like blacks just throwing each other and lawn chairs flying everywhere. It's insane. This is not the America that I want my kids to grow up in. And it's very easy to point out the source of all of this and where all of this trouble comes from. You know, when you were joining us for this earlier, we were watching President Trump's impromptu address to the nation from the Oval Office. And when we caught wind of that, because it wasn't very highly publicized, we were like, well, we should probably tune into this and see what's going on. That was earlier today. And he wants to talk about soccer. He wants to talk about FIFA. He said 6 million people will be there. This number keeps popping up. You know, he had people speaking whose primary language is not English. He's surrounded by brown people. And J.D. Vance, who's married to a dot and has, you know, mixed kids, he's never going to be fighting for white America. I mean, it's fucking ridiculous. And then he was talking about interior decorating. We have World War III that we're standing at the brink of right here. 1.8 million people in Gaza and in the West Bank that are about to be annexed as Benjamin Netanyahu announces a full-scale official military occupation. And we're talking about hanging portraits of former Zionist-controlled, Jew-controlled, blackmailed, bought and paid for presidents, you know, in the White House and how beautiful that they look. You know what would look really beautiful is we had an actual America First president sitting behind the Resolute desk in the Oval Office.
Yeah, and I think he's using this all as a distraction, basically. I mean, we know Trump likes to boast about how much winning he's doing, so he's going to do that, and he's going to do it through the lens of things that he knows are, like, popular with most of the public, or a lot of the public. Well, soccer isn't even necessarily that popular, but, like, sports is. So he's going to kind of go, like, with that lane and just... He wants everybody to ignore what's really going on. Like you said, like, we're on the cusp of potential World War III here, all the wars that are being driven by Israel. And then, of course, he's also trying to distract away from the Epstein thing and try to make that go away somehow. We shouldn't let that go away either, because we want those names out there, man. Like, the goal would be to have a bunch of these people be tried, prosecuted, basically. I mean, Trump is out here boasting about, you know, cleaning up the streets in D.C. and whatever, which, fine. I mean, I'm for, like, getting rid of a bunch of these, like, vagrants or whatever who are making the streets unsafe, whatever, sure, clean that up, lock them up, whatever, but
why criminals- now? I mean, I was asking this question of a guest just the other day, is like, the timing is why now? Because crime is down in DC. You know, who is it that Trump is really preparing to fight? We're never going to get an honest answer. We live into the empire of lies here, you know, and we live in a Western Jewish colony. It's essentially, we live in a conquered country. These people are pulling down the American flags. Congressmen inside of the People's House on Capitol Hill are flying the Israeli Star of Remphan, Star of David, Satanic Star in their office, in the absence, in some cases, of the American flag entirely, and yes, in other cases, higher than the American flag or right alongside the American flag. I mean, these people have literally settled and colonized our country, and anybody that's being bare naked honest with themselves, when they walk outside, they can see the result of that. They can see the shutdown malls. They can see the dystopian gray skies that are being constantly sprayed with heavy metals and other toxic poisons. You know, you have to get your food from a package or a wrapper or a box. I thought we got rid of microwaves in the 1980s. People are still cooking their turkeys in microwaves, I think. I mean, it's absolutely insane what we have become, and the enemy has become very apparent. Like, we got to fix it.
I think a lot of people, like, still don't make that connection. Like, people will definitely see, like, this dystopian aspect of it and, oh, like, everything is gray, everything is gross. You know, people are all staying inside now, which, of course, makes people way more unhealthy, both mentally and physically and socially. Like, everybody's just becoming sort of retarded in all those different ways by, like, just having your kids all cooped up in the house. Because, again, I was born in 85, so, like, I'm kind of like you, where I didn't have a cell phone, like, until I was in college. Like, it was all, like, you're going to hang out with the kids in the neighborhood. You're going to be outside. You know what I mean? It's safer to do that back then as well. But that was just the way that we did things back then. It was definitely, I think, better for our health back then, even though I have my own health problems as well. But, you know, I forget where I was going with that whole thing. But what were we talking about before?
What are people's, I mean, like, listen, are people going to actually, in your opinion, be honest and say, hey, you know what? I just don't like this. I don't like the brownification of my country. I want white people to be the majority population in our country, because wherever white people go, civilizations get better. You know, they become more technologically advanced. They become safer. White people are literally the light that shines in any civilization where they go. They build beautiful infrastructure. You know, they invent great things that people marvel at for centuries. And then when your kid goes to school, they're told that because they're white, they're evil and that they're oppressors and that they're Hitler incarnate and that they owe reparations and they should apologize for being white. You know, I mean, this is what happens in every civilization where the white person is not the majority. When they become the minority, you can see the effects of that. And that's what's happening. I mean, you put black people into a neighborhood that used to be predominantly white. The fact is that pretty soon the lawns aren't mowed, the weeds start to overtake, vehicles are broken down and parked on the grass in the front lawn, drug deals are happening on the street, there's an influx of traffic that lasts for, you know, 20 seconds to a minute at these houses. They pull up, they get their bag, they leave. You know, somebody gets a dime bag of oregano instead of their marijuana. Now they're pissed. They come back with guns. They start shooting up the block. Your kid is sleeping and gets hit in the head, you know, with a 223 round out of some AR-15 that was stolen out of a boxcar that was intentionally left on the tracks in the south side of Chicago, you know, and unlocked so that these people can have these, you know, these weapons. And it's like it's all introduced, it's all put there on purpose, and it's all done by this occupied federal government just in the same way that they did during the Summer of Love in 2020. I'm here. I was in Minneapolis. That's where this whole Stu Peters network thing originated from, whatever the fuck this Stu Peters show is. That's where it all spawned from, as I was broadcasting live on Facebook saying, no, I was at the third precinct. That's not what's going on. These buses are coming in right now, hours after George Floyd is dead, you know, or gets rushed off to the hospital or whatever. You have busloads of protesters coming. Like, where was the protester bus announcement? They have pallets of bricks just randomly showing up and being placed on street corners. Like, why is Maxine Waters from California coming to Minnesota and encouraging people to riot? Don't you see what this is? I mean, this is an obvious white, anti-white war. It's an anti-white, it's a white genocide. It's a white replacement. I don't know what term you want to use to describe this. They are murdering white people. They're displacing and dispossessing white people of their country and of their culture and of their heritage and of their property and belongings and of the prosperity and the sovereignty and the safety that we want to provide for our children and the generations that come after them. Like, I mean, this is so obviously planned. And all of this comes from big private equity firms like BlackRock that enjoy headquartering their facilities on Rothschild Boulevard in Tel Aviv.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if like the end goal from these people is to like kind of erase all the people that are going to have like the strongest tendency to push back against what they're doing. I don't know, but I think more and more people are noticing like who it is, but people are like, I think, afraid to be labeled as like, oh, bigoted. Like, we can't say these certain things. Like, a lot of people are just propagandized into thinking, well, we can't talk about this. Like, we can't talk about like the JQ. We can't talk about the fact that it is predominantly the Jews are in control of this and in power and actually really propagating all these things. And we also can't talk about like the race aspect of this as far as how they're trying to replace white people with more, you know, brown people, black people, whatever. Like, you're not allowed to say that, even though it's clearly happening. But I think a lot of people, more people notice that than the amount of people who are speaking out about it, I will say. So at least I think we do have, we might be trending in more of the right direction, though, where more people are noticing it and more willing to speak out about it, though.
And I don't want to see my president sitting next to a bunch of homosexuals and browns in the Oval Office virtue signaling. I'm sorry, I don't. I want to see my president saying, you know what, this is a nation state that is committing terrorist acts. And although the United States has previously declared that it was, you know, Israel's greatest ally, we now recognize that there is an ongoing mass slaughter of innocents happening, and we're going to pull the plug on all aid that's going to Israel. And you know what? Nature will just take its course. Let the chips fall where they may. If that means that we're serving up Israel to Iran on a silver platter and they can just do whatever they think that they need to do in order to stop these attacks and stop this genocide that's happening, well, then at least somebody has some moral uprightness. You know, but we're not going to get involved. We're not going to do what we should do, which is actively using force to stop Israel from committing these war crimes and slaughtering these people, bombing these hospitals and churches, you know, obliterating entire rows of housing, wiping out city blocks of residential apartments and neighborhood and turning it into unlivable conditions. Life cannot be sustained here. And in the meantime, I've got a president with this, you know, vice president who's married to some dothead Indian that I opposed all of the H-1Bs, which is why I lost my blue check mark, because Elon disagrees with me. You're not allowed to say these things. And, you know, to your point about asking the Jewish question, I do want to take a little bit of a victory lap here because, you know, due to the efforts of this platform and our online influence campaign, we've mainstreamed a lot of this question asking to the extent that now when you turn on Fox, you have people actually overtly pushing back against what they're seeing as perceived war crimes, you know, taking place, where 1.8 million people remain. Before this thing started on October 7th, there were 2.25 million people there, 75% under the age of 25, 15% under the age of 50. 500,000 of them are just unaccounted for. Where did they go? They're dead. They're dead. They're beneath the rubble that was inflicted as a result of the bombs that we send, where these shell casings are lying on the ground that these Palestinians, Muslims, and Christians alike are stumbling across while they're looking for the bodies of their children. And they say property of the Department of Defense, United States of America. Some of them have been signed by our so-called elected representatives or online influencers and other various Shabbos goys and Jews that are, you know, infiltrated throughout our country. Yep. These things are autographed. These things are stamped with our country. I'm not okay with that. That's not a representation of America. That's not a representation of Americans. That's not what I want these people seeing, and I don't want them here. And they would not be here if we would stop raping their women and children and stop bombing the fuck out of their countries.
Yeah, and yeah, you have a lot of, yeah, there are celebrities that are signing those bombs, like Dave Draymond, the lead singer from Disturbed, has been like really outspoken in favor of Israel, and he was out signing those bombs. So yeah, you're in Gaza, you're getting bombed by bombs that are signed by the guy who's saying, like, down with the sickness. It's like, it's almost so ridiculous that it's almost unbelievable. And yeah, like you talked about, Israel is also attacking, yeah, Christian churches, which should lead people to realize, hey, wait a minute, like, because obviously a lot of the, like, Zionist right here claim to be, like, Christians, pro-Christian. Well, don't you see what's going on here? Like, you can't really, you can't be on both sides of this. Like, Israel is an anti-Christian entity to the point that they're bombing Christian churches in Gaza. Like, how can you, I don't understand how you can defend that but also still be Christian. Like, you have, you know, the guys from the Babylon Bee were, like, like very much promoting that. I'm like, this is crazy, dude. Like, you're murdering Christian children in Gaza. Like, you cannot be okay with that.
We're supposed to be concerned with FIFA. We're supposed to be all excited about soccer, a game.
Well, yeah, the soccer, I mean, really that just introduces another problem. So it's not only just a distraction, but, like, it's another problem that we're probably going to have to battle, because I think financially it's going to hurt the country. And, like, I know Boston, my city, is actually one of the cities that's hosting some of the World Cup events this year or next year, whatever it is. Boston has no infrastructure that can support that. The Boston public transportation system is the worst in the entire country. There's absolutely no way that they're going to be able to support the World Cup. And the mayor is all like, no, this is, like, great for Boston. Like, we're going to do this. Like, you have to be kidding me, dude. It's going to be one of the worst things that's ever happened to Boston, probably. Like, it might cripple the city, to be honest.
I'm just watching over here. President Trump gets his front row ticket to the FIFA World Cup. New York and New Jersey. The final match. He got his match ticket. Mm-hmm. Yeah, congratulations, President Trump.
Yeah.
It's absolutely disgusting.
Yeah, and Trump was, yeah, I mean, he gets to go to all those things. He was at the Super Bowl. He's got to, you know, he's got to be, like, in the public eye. Everything is just so ridiculous. I kind of just sit there. I mean, you saw
it's
me,
all
like,
fake,
I was
and soccer is gay, anyways. I mean, yeah. Soccer is legitimately just like a completely. It's a gay sport. It's all these sports are totally gay. They're all rigged. They're all fake. Just like our elections. Just like this two-party representative constitutional republic. Just like, you know, foreign relations, the presidency itself, our Congress, the people, the idea that these people are going and fighting each other in Washington D.C. It's all fake. It's all fake. What's real is go outside. You know, let's go back to the origins of this conversation. That's what's real. Go outside. Look at the conditions of your country. Go back to where you grew up from. Go back to the neighborhoods where you grew up. Take a look at them. Yeah. You know, go look at the places where you used to play baseball. Go look at the places where you used to hang out with your friends, the movie theaters that you used to go to. They're not there anymore. And if they are, you know, outside on the corner, you're going to find some black selling heroin or meth, fentanyl. You know, you're not going to feel safe there. Everything's overgrown. Nothing is well lit. It's just disgusting. Toad, thank you so much for coming here. I know that you're a comedian. Where do you want people to come and find you when you're talking about things that can actually introduce some humor, which I think is a very effective way to spread a message?
Oh, thank you. Yeah, thanks for having me, man. Yeah, I mean, I get, like, super crude at times, too, because, you know, I used to do the Tower Gang podcast, which unfortunately is no more, at least for the time being. I'm still wearing my hat for that, but I'm at Learn to Toad on Twitter, so people can find me there. I also do sports betting content because I do get, I guess, slightly degenerate in certain ways, so I do a lot of sports stuff. So I do have Better Off Dead, BETTOR, which is my sports.
We got to get you away from that. We got to get you away from that. Yeah.
Yeah.
It sounds a lot like Dave Portnoy. Sports betting.
I'm anti-Portnoy, to be honest. Like, I have done it as like a semi-profession for a while, so I'm very disciplined with it, which is what you got to do. I've learned to tone on Instagram as well. I put out some of that content. And I do ukulele content, as you know, which is
That's the best. When you're doing the sports betting, by the way, are you doing it with the understanding that everything is predetermined and that it's all fake, and you have some like inside knowledge of what the outcome is going to be?
To some extent, yes. I mean, I think there are, there are certain rigged aspects to it. Yes. Although
there's definitely signs. They have to telegraph what it is that they're going to do, you know? Yeah. So when Trump put out that propaganda video from the official Trump account on Truth Social, by the way, I think it was on X as well, but it was an official White House video from President Trump. It was authentically from him. This propaganda, like AI video of him sitting poolside with Bibi Netanyahu sipping a Mai Tai at Trump Gaza, built atop the bones of dead Palestinian children. This guy is a war criminal. These guys are criminals, and they need to be put on trial. I got to go. Toad, thank you so much for being here. All right. Well, as we continue, we've got Frankie Stocks, an extended version of the Base Report. It is Friday on the Stu Peter Show. Plus, we're going to have him for a segment on Ukraine, which is very, very important. How does all of this play in? I don't know. Maybe you're busy talking soccer. When you're ready to get back to the real world, we'll be here. More of the Stu Peter Show continues next.
Yo, America. Tired of the same old fizz? Say hello to Scentsy Pop, the soda that slaps harder than a summer storm. Every can's loaded with 20 milligrams of naturally occurring THC, delivering a buzz that's smoother than a back road cruise and bolder than a dive bar jukebox. This ain't your grandpa's soda pop. This is Scentsy Pop, the American classic remixed for the modern vibe. From cornfields to concrete, Scentsy Pop's got that spark to light up your night. Crack it, sip it, feel the pop. Scentsy Pop, get ready to feel the fizz. Explore your vibes at AmericanHempHub.com.
There's nothing we wouldn't do for our pets. They're like our children. Our friends at Pet Club 24/7 have developed natural products that contain the most potent strain of a mushroom that's been used for thousands of years to help support the immune system. So visit their website today to discover how they're changing the way that pets and their parents are being treated for the better.
Welcome to SPN Store. Gear up and speak for truth. Support uncensored journalism with exclusive SPN merch for the Stu Crew. Limited edition tees, wear your values loud and clear. Exclusive hoodies, stay comfortable while backing the truth. Shop now and stand proud at spnstore.com. Fast shipping, Patriot-owned and limited runs. Don't miss out.
Yo, America. Tired of the same old fizz? Say hello to Scentsy Pop, the soda that slaps harder than a summer storm. Every can's loaded with 20 milligrams of naturally occurring THC, delivering a buzz that's smoother than a back road cruise and bolder than a dive bar jukebox. This ain't your grandpa's soda pop. This is Scentsy Pop, the American classic remixed for the modern vibe. From cornfields to concrete, Scentsy Pop's got that spark to light up your night. Crack it, sip it, feel the pop. Scentsy Pop, get ready to feel the fizz. Explore your vibes at AmericanHempHub.com.
Our newest sponsor on the program, AmericanHempHub.com. Find a new social lubricant, put down the juju's, walk away from the alcohol. Drinking is retarded and dumb, and it's poisonous. Find your vibe at AmericanHempHub.com. It's just part of the war, part of the unrestricted warfare, and every aspect of this unrestricted war, you are the target. And we talked briefly about one aspect of that with Toad, which is the dispossession of the American people from our culture and our heritage and our country. Our country looks completely different than it did. And when you talk about kinetic warfare, you can see the trickle-down effect of that as we see violence in our streets in America that goes unchecked. You know, throughout the entire Summer of Love in 2020, when entire cities were burning, people were being raped, corner stores were being burned to the ground, family businesses were being shut down, Donald Trump did not deploy the military at that point. The fires are out now. Violence in D.C. is down, but we're deploying the American military to take back control of those streets. So again, the question is, who is it that Donald Trump is really preparing to fight? It's you. And this unrestricted warfare is multifaceted, of course. It's biological warfare. When you close your eyes and you think of kinetic war and biological warfare, you think of Saddam Hussein with Scud missiles and chemical weapons. That's what we were taught to believe. That's what was programmed in us to believe what kinetic and biological warfare looks like. Big pharmaceutical companies trickles all the way down through your pharmacies and into your local clinics and doctor's offices as these weapons of biowarfare are being directly injected into the arms of everybody in America and their children. The war on whites, the war on Christianity, kinetic warfare, biological warfare, economic warfare. We are the target. It's all the same war. Make sure that you keep your economic warfare in check by visiting Carlos Cortez's website at CortezWM.com. I have been telling you guys for years now that you need an appointment with Carlos Cortez. It takes about 15 minutes. He can't be here today, but delivering that message to you is very important. This is a key aspect in that unrestricted warfare. Along with being dispossessed from your culture and your heritage and being ripped away from your country and having your country ripped away from you and given to third world savages and big tech bros and technocratic elites that want you dead, the end goal is to enslave all of humanity. They're going to do it through things like the Patriot Act, which has already been ushered in, and on the doorstep is Palantir, which they're predicting they can count on the support of the American populace to help to usher that in, by telling you how bad everything else is. But the realization that all of this evil is being perpetuated by the people that we recognize as being officials, elected representatives inside of our federal government, these same people are responsible for the economic warfare that's being waged, the great financial reset, the bank bail-ins, the bank bailouts, the interest rates, the hyperinflation. All of this is designed to place you in that prison camp, so that the enemy of humanity can do as they feel that they were chosen by God to do, which is to rule over all of mankind right alongside Satan himself. You got to be able to keep the government's hands off of your money. This corporate crime syndicate, this murderous, pedophilic, illegitimate government of ours wants your money, and they want to take it while they put you into an early grave. Go to CortezWM.com and book that appointment. You can also call them in the office anytime, 813-448-3446. 813-448-3446. If you have the financial advisor that was your dad's financial advisor, you're doing it wrong. If you haven't talked to your financial advisor this week, you're doing it wrong. Have you asked your financial advisor if they're vaccinated? Have you asked your financial advisor where all of your investments lie? Is BlackRock in your portfolio? What about Vanguard and State Street? What about Pfizer, Moderna, Gilead? Are these people inside of your investment portfolio? Then you are helping to orchestrate, to fund the genocide that we're seeing, the displacement of people from their ancestral homelands, the mass murder, the genocide, the ethnic cleansing that we're watching, the American munitions that are provided by Lockheed Martin and Raytheon, the aircraft by Boeing. All of these NGOs and special interest groups and big corporations are being funded by the American taxpayer. This could not be done without our financial support, and they're taking it from you. They're stealing it from you. It's criminal. Stop. And you can. You can stop it right now. You can stop the bleeding. You can protect yourself. Go to CortezWM.com or call him in the office anytime. Carlos Cortez, 813-448-3446. He's an independent fiduciary. He's a man of God. Are you investing with somebody who has like values and morals? Are you investing with somebody who's equally yoked? CortezWM.com or just call him in the office anytime, 813-448-3446. Again, 813-448-3446. The Based Report is coming up with Frankie Stocks. And what is going on in Ukraine? More part of this unrestricted warfare. We'll be back. I'm at your Semitic fully. They saying I'm acting like Hitler. But how am I acting like Hitler when I'm a fucking nigger? They telling me get off of Twitter. I voted for Trump, not Biden. Know some niggas that went to that island. Why the fuck would you go to that island? Went to the dentist and got me some nitrous. To the dentist and put in some diamonds. I didn't ask for niggas to chime in. They just don't understand me. I'm that nigga that's gonna urinate on Grammys. Walking swastikas cause all my niggas Nazis. Reading Mein Kampf two chapters before I go to sleep.
What you listening to, son?
I don't think you like it.
Well, why not? I like this new generation of music. J-Proof is Jew-proof.
you go over to jproof.ai right now, you can get all of the information on everything J-Proof. Matt Wallace on X just last night started tweeting about this because now it is news. It's news that everybody has remained completely quiet about a remedy and a solution for our movement and for our mission and for our army, and that all of the naysayers and everybody saying that Stu Peters is a scammer, Stu Peters is a rug puller. No, I will never Jew my people. Which is exactly why, after a surge to $200 million market cap value, J-Proof found its legitimate and authentic floor amongst its real holders, real warriors, a real army of based as hell, based warriors. $45 million floor? Yeah, we'll take it. Go to jproof.ai or don'tbeajew.com for more information on everything J-Proof.
Welcome to the Base Report, Frankie Stocks here on the Stu Peters Network. Frankie Stocks coming to you live from here in Washington, D.C. Frankie Stocks here reporting for the Stu Peters Network in Washington, D.C., where we are undercover doing a little bit of reconnaissance.
This is what the Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society wants to take away from you.
Welcome to the Base Report, Frankie Stocks here.
Frankie Stocks has been paying close attention to all of this for us. He joins us now to share more.
Your top three stories in 3 minutes from your Base reporter, Frankie Stocks. This is The Base Report.
Your top book in three categories on Amazon is It's Really Fun to Be White, authored by yours truly. All the kids are back at the indoctrination camps being programmed into believing that if they are white, that they are oppressors, that they were born evil, that they are Hitler incarnate, that they are Nazis. Combat all of those lies with the truth. The truth is, it's really fun to be white. 48 pages, advanced illustrations. We introduce God into this book. Make sure that your white child, all of the important white children in your life, have access to the truth. It's really fun to be white. Plus, I want to see those videos of you guys confronting your school boards, just raising it up. You don't have to be confrontational. Hey, I have seen all of the books about how great and fun it is to be a little black boy, or how fun it is to be a little Jew somewhere, or how great it is to be a transgender having sex with grown adults. I just don't see any representation for the important white children, you know, whose ancestors are responsible for erecting all of the infrastructure, coming up with all of the amazing ideas, and all of the things that modern day civilizations marvel at, that white people are responsible for bringing the light into any darkness where they go, that white communities, white countries, predominantly white neighborhoods are always safer than the others that I keep reading books about how great it is to be a gay black. It's really fun to be white. Go and confront your school boards and let them know, I want proper representation in our schools. And then I will ship pallets of these things to your school district so that every little white child understands it's really fun to be white. You can get it on Amazon right now. It is the top-selling book in three different categories. And also, let's not forget about the film that's responsible for J-pilling all of the MAGA retards and boomer normies that had no idea what Israel was doing in our country, that they had no idea what they were doing in our society, in our government, the way that this just infests and permeates and seeds and seeps through every single aspect of our society. You could just go over to OccupiedFilm.com. Again, OccupiedFilm.com, and get a copy of that. The Base Report with Frankie Stocks starts right now. I would assume that you're probably covering the very important address that we just talked about with Toad. President Trump was in the White House. Nobody really knew about this address. We were talking this morning that you had heard some grumblings that Trump was going to be in the Oval Office addressing the nation. Nobody was really talking about it on X, and we thought, well, something big is going to go. I mean, obviously, we're about to go to war with Iran. Bibi Netanyahu has announced that he's going to have this full-scale official occupation in the region there. We know that that'll move into the West Bank and into Lebanon and into Syria, approaching the door of Iran, which is obviously the final domino to fall, accomplishing the stated objective of greater Israel as the expansionists just continue murdering everybody that gets in their path. Is that what he talked about today, Frankie? Did President Trump talk about the genocide that's being broadcast in 4K every day on television?
No, of course not. They talked about soccer, and they actually said 6 million people. How did they come up with this number?
Soccer is just so gay, and that 6 million number, it just keeps popping up. All right. The Base Report begins right now. 3 minutes.
Thanks, Stu. We're going to start things off in the Middle East, where in Gaza, the United Nations hunger monitors say that at least 500,000 people, this is more than 25% of the remaining Palestinian population of Gaza, are starving. They are imminently facing famine. And by the end of next month, hundreds of thousands more people will be starving and will be facing famine. This is a modern day catastrophe, all brought to you by Benjamin Netanyahu and his U.S. funded war machine. And it's actually about to get a whole lot worse. You mentioned Netanyahu's plans for conquest there, and Israel is already executing raids around Gaza City. They've called up 60,000 reservists. They're amassing at the Gazan border. They are preparing to go in and invade and occupy and eventually annex Gaza and kill or remove every single person there. And that's not the only place Israel's moving around. They've launched strikes in southern Lebanon. And just this week, they've approved settlement plans for the West Bank. This is a massive settlement. Thousands of illegally constructed Jewish homes will be built for the express purpose of making a two-state solution an impossibility, because the land will not be there for the Palestinians to have a state on, because these Jews will have already come in and stolen it. But in all of this, there is a big white pill, especially as we talk about the American people and America's support for all of this.
I'm ready for a white pill. Bring it on. What's the white pill? Let's swallow a bunch of these things.
Yep. So while our occupied government is backing all of this, the American people are pulling away from it. New polling data came out earlier this week showing that 42% of Americans say that they are opposed to what Israel is doing in the Middle East. They are opposed to Israel's plans for Gaza. And even more than that, in a separate poll by the same polling agency, 43%, a huge plurality of Americans said that they believe Israel's committing a genocide in Gaza, and only 28% of Americans said that they don't believe Israel is committing a genocide. And this is big, not just in the numbers. This is big in the willingness of the American people when some pollster calls them on the phone to say, yeah, you know what? Israel is committing a genocide, and I'm tired of seeing America pay for it. So while our government may still be groveling to these people and rolling over to these people and getting on Truth Social and saying, hey, go ahead, invade Gaza, the American people have had enough of this. We need to see the approval for this reach zero. We need to see 100% of Americans say, yeah, Israel's committing a genocide and we're done with it. But these numbers are encouraging. They are moving in the right direction. Now, last but not least here, really interesting story out of Europe, where in Italy, a Ukrainian has been arrested and is accused of blowing up the Nord Stream pipeline. Now, we all know this was blamed on the Russians. We were told this was cause for even more war in Eastern Europe. The Russians blew up this pipeline. They crippled Europe's energy resources. Well, we all knew the entire time it was the Ukrainians, and now a Ukrainian's been arrested for it. The thing here is, he didn't do it by himself. This was obviously a massive operation. There's been reports that the CIA was involved in it. There's been reports that Zelensky was directly involved in it. So in arresting this Ukrainian, who is this guy? It has me wondering, is this somebody that Zelensky wants to get rid of? They're going to pin this on him, say he was a major player in all of this, get the guy killed, get the guy ushered out of there, and make Zelensky look good as they try to rehabilitate his image in the West, act like he's trying to get to the bottom of this while Trump cozies up to him. But regardless here, there's been a Ukrainian arrested in Italy, accused of blowing up the Nord Stream pipeline. It was the Ukrainians the entire time. Back to you, Stu.
I got a question about your first story. You were talking about, how many did you say 25% of these people in Gaza are starving right now?
Yep, at least 25%.
But I just saw a bunch of influencers. They called me a liar on X, actually. They tagged me. They were very adamant that they were going to tag me in a lot of these posts. I haven't, of course, echoed them because I want to check to make sure that they are legitimate posts. But they were standing in front of pallets full of food and water and supplies that apparently just arrived in Gaza. Is that a lie? Is that fake?
It sure does seem to be, at least according to all the hunger monitors that are there, according to all the humanitarian aid workers that are there, according to the photos and the videos that we see of brutally starving babies, you know, coming out of there. These people are on a paid Israeli propaganda trip to go pose in front of this stuff and have photo ops and then put it out as slop. And look, as the poll shows, the American people aren't like gobbling this slop up. The American people don't believe what these freaks and traitors have gone over to Israel to try to portray. You know, they want to act like this is some kind of humanitarian mission. And the craziest thing is, they say Israel's the only country in the world that's expected to give aid to countries it goes to war with. The United States, after we invaded Iraq on behalf of Israel, within a matter of days, allocated billions upon billions of dollars in aid to the Iraqis. So Israel's not asked to make some exception here in not letting kids starve to death. They orchestrated this blockade. They said, we're starving human animals. These people won't get food. They won't get water. They won't get electricity. They won't get medicine. And now we're seeing the effects of that play out right here. And it's going to get a whole lot worse as they go into Gaza and move into this occupation. But no, long and the short of it is, those people are liars on a paid propaganda trip to Israel, and they should be registered as foreign agents.
You know, and part of the truth might be there. The truth might be that they're actually taking pictures in front of pallets full of aid supplies, food and water that are necessary for people's survival. But what have we seen in the past with all of this? We have seen people, they were told, yep, there's food and water over here. And then they're gunned down. They're cut to pieces. They were told to go to Rafah where it would be safe. and they were gunned down. They were trapped. They were cut to pieces. This is a blockade. And literally, they are boxed in. They can't get out of there. They can't fly out. They can't swim out. They can't get away. They're gunned down every chance they get. They're baited. They're lured into what is necessary for their survival. Imagine being a person that's starving. Even more so, imagine being a father or a mother whose children are starving. Your child is starving, looking at you. I need you to find a solution for this. You are who I rely on to feed me, to bring me food, to bring me water, to bring me the necessary, you know, aid that I need to live for survival. I mean, this is what we do it here in modern America. They're doing it crawling around in rubble. They're doing it crawling around over concrete that has been pummeled and obliterated and hit with American manufactured weapons paid for by the American taxpayer, where their loved ones, their children in a lot of cases, their grandparents, their parents, their aunt, their uncle, their brother, their sister, their best friend is beneath the rubble and will never be found again. That's where 500,000 people have just disappeared to. The rest of them have been obviously shipped throughout the West to brownify everything. And then these people go there hating it because they saw the shells. They saw the American munitions that say property of the Department of Defense, United States of America, in some cases signed by celebrities and influencers, probably the very same Jews and Shabbos Goy useful idiot influencers that were standing on the White House lawn after Pam Bondi handed them the fake binders for the Epstein Bindergate story. This government is the number one state sponsor in terror. Our government is the number one state sponsor of terror. We are the big terrorists here. We're funding all of it. At what point are Americans, Frankie, just going to realize, hey, now I realize that this is happening, but the government, as you said, they're just going to keep fawning over this nation state anyways. They're just going to keep responding and on social media propping up the Benjamin Netanyahu regime and just kind of like sweeping under the rug the fact that there's this mass murder, genocide, ethnic cleansing, and annexation of these people's ancestral homeland taking place right now. But they're still going to continue not only that to prop them up on social media, they're going to continue to provide them with our money. So we need some solutions on that as well. And as far as Ukraine is concerned, do you got some time? Because I want to talk about the importance of Ukraine.
Yeah, absolutely, Stu.
All right. After we go to break here real quick, that was the Based Report. Again, make sure that you head on over to Amazon, get a copy of It's Really Fun to Be White. It's really fun to be right. And it's also really fun to be white. And the two of them are kind of synonymous, actually. White is right. We'll be back with Frankie Stocks as we continue. Ukraine, as we now know, is part of this. It's just now adjacent to the new borders on the map of Greater Israel. We'll talk about that when we come back.
As Christians in a Christian country, we have a right to be, at minimum, agnostic about the leadership being all Jewishly occupied.
We literally should be at war with fucking Israel 100 times over, and instead we're just sending them money, and it's fucking craziness.
Look at the state of Israel, look at the state of Tel Aviv, and look at the state of Philadelphia. You tell me where this money's going, you tell me who's benefiting from this.
I am prepared to die in the battle fighting this monstrosity that would wish to enslave me and my family and steal away any rights to my property and to take away my God, go fuck yourself. Will I submit to that?
And if you've got a foreign state, you've got dual citizens in your government, who do you think they're supporting?
God, right now, would you protect the nation of Israel and protect those of us, not just our church, but every church in the world and in this nation that's willing to put their neck on the line and say, we stand with them.
You can look at Trump's cabinet, you can look at Biden's cabinet, it's full of Jews.
Black friend in school. I have nothing against blacks. She has nothing against me. She understands where I'm coming from.
Excuse me, I'm a Jew, and I just like to say that, you know, in our Bible it says that you're like animals.
The Jews crucified our God.
for speaking the truth. Truth's my weapon, I'm standing on thou chain. Proof is true proof. The Greeks to the break, the patriots are raised for the freedom of our youth. They can cancel us, but never the truth. Label me Nazi for speaking the truth.
On the Base Report, we talked a little bit with Frankie about Ukraine, who we now know definitively was responsible for the destruction of the Nord Stream pipeline. Of course, that was during the Biden administration, and we knew that a Jew was involved. Obviously, the Jew blew up the Nord Stream pipeline. Who was this person? We'll get to the bottom of that. We're going to figure out who this person is and if this is just some scapegoat, some patsy that Zelensky wants to get rid of. You know, much like the pedophiles that are running and hiding. The ones that they want to get rid of, they make sure that they get held over in America for prosecution. And then they get their really light sentence. But the guys that are working for the National Security Cyber Directorate as part of the intel apparatus for Israel and Benjamin Netanyahu's murderous regime, no, they get an Uber flight out of here arranged by none other than Zion Donny, Operation Warp Speed, President Trumpenstein, who's obviously implicated in these tapes. And all of that, yes, does tie back to Ukraine. And Ukraine is a really big deal, which we've been hearing a lot more talk about over the last few weeks. And of course, this began with the renewed U.S. weapons shipments that were signed off on by President Trumpenstein. And they're all being sent to Ukraine through European middlemen. And that was followed by Trump's meeting, of course, with Vladimir Putin in Alaska. And then that was followed up by Trump's meeting with Volodymyr Zelensky and multiple European leaders at the White House, after which we heard a lot of different talking points from a lot of different Jews from a lot of different angles about the future of America's involvement in Ukraine. Now, initially, the White House was telling us that American peacekeepers might be sent in. In other words, as we covered here on the Stu Peters Network, along with Frankie Stocks on the Base Report, that means American boots on the ground so that they can be used as bait. So they can be used as cannon fodder, because when they're shot at or shot or blown up or killed, that's going to be the pretext that's used as justification to hype up the approval from the American people to go into some kinetic confrontation. But after an immediate public backlash, of course, they backed off on all of that. And now the White House says that Americans may begin providing the Ukrainians with air support, which also, in all likelihood, involves at least some American boots on the ground. Who's going to laser paint these targets for the Air Force? But the thing is that no matter what our government has been telling us, we live under the empire of lies, American boots have been on the ground in Ukraine for years. There have been contingencies of Americans there for the entire time, actually. Leaked documents, eyewitness accounts, anyone with a grasp on reality, they've been able to tell us, yeah, American boots have been on the ground. And furthermore, right now, there are tens of thousands of American troops stationed in Eastern Europe awaiting for the order to go in and fight the Russians. I know people personally who have been shipped to Poland. And this has been in the works now for more than 10 years. Really, it's been in the works since the collapse of the Soviet Union. And despite all of his promises of ending the war in 24 hours, Donald Trump is now carrying on with business as usual, pushing America toward full-scale war in Ukraine and with Iran. And yesterday, we may have even come a step closer to that when this so-called American factory was hit in a Russian airstrike. What do they mean when they say an American factory? That term kind of conjures up an image of a bunch of Americans working around somewhere, a bunch of white Christian young American men being blown to smithereens limb from limb. The survivors will get some purple heart and then be forgotten about as they inject syringes filled with heroin into their arms and they're lying in the gutters of American streets with a hypodermic needle sticking from their forearm. So was this really an American facility like that? Or an American government-run facility? It wasn't either of these. No, it was a BlackRock-owned and run facility. This place is run by a company called Flex LTD, of which BlackRock is the number one voting shareholder. And now, once again, BlackRock is in the middle of what could be a very serious situation for this country. BlackRock is in the middle of everything as it pertains to this country. It's funny how that works, isn't it? Frankie Stocks hopefully is still there in a holdover from the Base Report. There he is. What say you on all of this BlackRock involvement? Here we go. Every time you see BlackRock, something smells like.
Yeah, it absolutely does. And I think every time you see BlackRock in Ukraine, it doubly smells like. These guys have been all over that place, buying up anything and everything that they can. They're buying up the land. They're buying up the rights to what's underneath the land. They're buying up industry.
Yeah, the minerals. I mean, there's all kinds of minerals there that Trump now wants to give BlackRock the rights to, which is a private equity firm that enjoys housing its headquarters on Rothschild Boulevard in Tel Aviv. It's run by their CEO, Larry Fink, who now wields power at the World Economic Forum. What could possibly go wrong?
Yeah, when Trump talks about getting the rare earth minerals from Ukraine, he's not talking about nationalizing any of these resources. This stuff is going to go to BlackRock, just like the ports. They talked about taking back America's ports as if...
Yeah, like, the Panama Canal. We just turned that right over to Larry Fink and BlackRock as well. How many thousands of lives did Trump claim were lost during the construction of the Panama Canal? He was wrong about that, but he was right that Americans did lose their lives. He was right that Americans did build the Panama Canal. He's right that Americans want to have access to the flow of money and income, to have a share of what goes through the most important ports in the world that were constructed by Americans. But he didn't mean that, did he?
No, he meant those are going to go to BlackRock. That's BlackRock property now. You know, that's the very same thing in Ukraine. When they talk about American interests in Ukraine or an American factory in Ukraine, it's owned by BlackRock, this Flex LTD company. They manufacture electronics. That's, and we'll talk about that in a second, that's suspicious enough on its own. But when you look into their shareholders, BlackRock's number one. They've also, just for good measure, they've got Vanguard and State Street among their top 10 shareholders as well. So they've really got the trifecta going on there. And this factory gets hit in this Russian airstrike, allegedly in a Russian airstrike. And right away, Volodymyr Zelensky is out thumping his chest and saying, Russia has just attacked the United States. Russia has attacked an American factory. You get some talking heads here in the United States saying the exact same thing. Russia's attacking Americans. These aren't Americans working in these factories. These are Ukrainian employees. They're probably working for slave wages, and they're working on behalf of this company that, again, is owned by BlackRock. And what are they doing in this place? Because they were really, they're really vague about it. They've been talking about this a little bit. You watch the cable news networks. They say, oh, yeah, this is a factory. You know, it's non-military purposes. Don't worry about it. They're making electronics in this place. Well, a lot of people have been pointing this out, because I posted a little video clip about this on social media, and a lot of people have been pointing out, well, look, what electronics are being made in Ukraine? Oh, drones. The Ukrainians talk about how they get these drones for $100. Well, they've got to be getting produced. They've got to be getting subsidized by somebody with very deep pockets to do it. So are they making drones in this factory? And then if they are making drones or anything, components for drones, anything like that in this factory, well, then all of a sudden it becomes a legitimate military target. So all of a sudden, the American target that's owned by BlackRock is actually a legitimate military target. And then on the other hand, it's like, did Vladimir Putin, do they know that this, and I'm sure that they do, that what's going on at this factory, they know that this is owned by a BlackRock subsidiary. They say, you know what, let's slap BlackRock across the mouth real quick and blow up their little factory here and just send them a nice message and say, you know what, get the hell off of our land. Because these people have come rushing in, and the regions where that are contested in Ukraine, those people voted to leave Ukraine. They're ethnic Russians. They speak Russian. They want to be part of Russia. They seceded from Ukraine, and Russia came in to protect their citizens who were being genocided. BlackRock and the like come in taking advantage of this right alongside the U.S. government, right alongside all these NGOs. You mentioned it, the World Economic Forum, the king of this, you know, a big collection of a bunch of private equity guys sitting on a board and saying, how can we leverage governments with the World Economic Forum to get what we want and steal what we want and get the wars that we want to play out? And that's exactly what they're doing there. So it wouldn't surprise me in the least if at the same time, if this is a legitimate Russian strike, if Putin is saying, hey, you know what, we just slapped BlackRock across the face and sent him a little message. But if they're making drones in this place, it's a legitimate military target. And then there's also the obvious angle in all of this. Well, this is owned by BlackRock. I mean, this very easily could be a false flag. I mean, BlackRock, Thomas Crooks from Butler, Pennsylvania, he was in a BlackRock commercial. You know, it's every single time. All those chemical plants that blew up in the United States last year, those were all owned by BlackRock. I got banned from TikTok for posting videos about how BlackRock owned all these chemical plants that were getting blown up all across the United States. So for them to own something that gets blown up and then there'd be fallout from it, like a serious political fallout or chemical fallout in the state, in the case of those chemical plants, that's not unusual at all. So it's not out of the realm of possibility or even like a crazy thought to say, oh yeah, BlackRock owned this. And they said, hey, go ahead, Ukraine, blow it up, and we'll say the Russians struck it. Or again, this could be a legitimate military targeting from Russia. It could go either way, but either way it goes, BlackRock is in the center of it, as they are so often, especially in Ukraine.
As an aside, TikTok is terrible. I got a video removed and I got a strike on my account for rightly reporting factual information that states that since the scamdemic in 2020, autism in children has risen by 25%. That's 5 years, 25%. And then over a certain longer period of time, autism has increased 375%. You were a part of that research. You know that these numbers are real. And I didn't give any subjective commentary as to who was responsible for this, even though we all know exactly who's responsible for all of this. We know who's in charge at Big Pharma. We know who's in charge at the FDA and the CDC throughout the entire scamdemic. We know who all of the unelected bureaucrats were that were pulling the strings, that were filling President Trump's ear with all of this nonsense. We know who the scarf lady was. We know who the demon Tony Fauci was. And we know who their paymasters are. We know who the bosses are. We know who Rochelle Walensky was. We know who Albert Bourla was at Pfizer. We know who was leading all of the coalitions that were pushing the media attention toward making sure that you went and got your next booster. We know who was arranging in the American BlackRock-funded media for President Trump to sit down with Bill O'Reilly and talk about how he just got his booster and that you should go get it too. Back to the Ukraine thing. As an aside, surface level, I will just say that we saw, we're all very familiar, and I don't know if we have it here, if we can put it up on the screen. But we were watching not long ago as one of these drones, one of these Ukrainian so-called kamikaze drones, was in the middle of a field, and there was this Russian soldier, and this kamikaze drone was just taunting this soldier, who apparently was unarmed, was by himself somewhere. I don't know if he was lost, if he was lured to this place. I don't know if he was on some kind of a lone mission by himself, but it was very clearly a Russian soldier who was unarmed in the middle of the field, and this drone was just flying in front of his face, waiting to blow up. This guy was just holding his breath, anticipating when he was going to meet his maker, when his life was going to be ended, and when he was going to be blown up by this thing. If I saw that, you know that Vladimir Putin and his top generals have seen that. You know that the Russian military has seen that. And vengeance can be very sweet. If this was a legitimate Russian airstrike, who could blame Putin? Who could blame Putin, for that matter, for any of the calculated efforts that he has made against Ukrainian and American infrastructure only in this war effort? Because, you know, unlike Bibi Netanyahu, unlike Volodymyr Zelensky, unlike the American war empire, unlike the genocidal mass-murdering Israeli war machine and the military-industrial complex, it seems to me that Vladimir Putin, no matter what else you want to say about him, has always been very calculated in minimizing civilian casualties in any kind of kinetic conflict that he's ever been involved with as the leader of Russia. He goes after infrastructure. He goes after weaponry and stockpiles and weapons caches. He doesn't go after just bombing and, you know, mass casualties of civilians like Volodymyr Zelensky does. I haven't seen any apparent war crimes from the Russian military. I've got countless videos of Ukrainians admitting that they're hunting down the family members of Russian soldiers and killing them, executing them, raping their women. I've got countless stories of these Russian soldiers being eaten by Ukrainians. We covered that very early on in the Ukrainian war, which is when I came on and went live and told everybody, a lot of you may not understand where this came from. And you're absolutely right, Frankie, when you say that this region, that this Ukraine was settled largely by ethnic Russians who just want to be a part of Russia. They don't want to be thrown into this construct that was just scribbled on a map in 1991. They don't want to speak Ukrainian. They want to speak Russian. They don't want to be a Jew. They want to be an Orthodox Christian. They want to be free. They want their interests protected. They want national sovereignty. And that's what Vladimir Putin is doing inside of the borders of Russia, protecting the national sovereignty, protecting his borders, you know, keeping pedophiles out, rejecting the one world banking cabal, the central banksters. And this is a banker's war, unlike virtually no other war. It's just like every other war. It's a banker's war.
And this one publicly is a banker's war. You have these guys like Larry Fink from BlackRock who are out publicly saying, we're taking every business opportunity that we can in Ukraine. These guys openly cheerlead for this to continue, for Christians, Orthodox young Christian men to continue being fed into the meat grinder. You talk about like these depraved governments like Zelensky's government, these guys who are working directly for the U.S. government and their NGOs and their BlackRock financiers. These guys, a viral video came out the other day of a Ukrainian family. The father's driving his kids in the car. car, and they start getting cornered and surrounded, and the commissars come and rip the father right out of the car and take him away to go send him to the front lines. Like, they are just chewing through the entire population of Ukraine, the entire male and increasingly female population, and even the special needs population. They're feeding literally everyone into this. You know, you talk about the horrors of the videos that you see, like those drones. There's videos that go around to the Ukrainians just abusing guys with Down syndrome who have been drafted and sent out and thrown onto the front lines just to be a body out there. It's incredibly disturbing. The Ukrainians have, they are like operating under Talmudic principles. They have absolutely no morals. They have no value on human life. And you're exactly right. Putin's been calculated in his strikes. If he invaded Ukraine, they called it an invasion. It was more of an incursion. And they did the whole thing with kid gloves. People were walking up to Russian military vehicles and like saying hi to them or giving them flowers. There were even people up to them and heckling them and saying, get out of here. And they didn't shoot them in the face. They just kept on rolling. But you see that what the Ukrainians do, as soon as the United States gives those animals long range munitions, they start flying them into freaking apartment complexes in Moscow just to bring terror to the Russian civilian population. They want to send the message, and the U.S. wanted them to send this message. This has happened under Biden. It's happened under Trump. And they say, use our munitions to hit the Russians. Use them to hit them on their own territory. They want them to send that message that you're not safe anywhere. And we are willing, just like our handlers in Israel, just like our big boss guy, Benjamin Netanyahu, willing to take out as many civilians as possible. These people who have been stuck in this area, I mean, think of the people who live in the contested regions of Ukraine, and they're just getting jostled around and slaughtered left and right. They're like white Palestinians at this point. For years leading up to this, they had been getting abused. They'd been getting raped and publicly humiliated, chained to lampposts and tortured in public on video by these crazed Ukrainian, like, fake nationalists. They're nationalists for a fake country, a country that was scribbled onto the map after the collapse of the Soviet Union, and that really started to assert its identity right alongside the Bolsheviks. I mean, these people, 100 years ago, when the Bolsheviks overthrew the Russian Empire, there started being all this talk of a Ukrainian state. Like, these people are directly descended from Talmudic terrorists who overthrew a European empire and slaughtered millions of people. And now that's exactly what they want to do now, and they want to use Ukraine as their base of operations. It is new Khazaria. I mean, look at the maps. They want them to butt right up to Greater Israel. They have thousands of Jews just descend on Ukraine and start partying in the streets while the white Christian men are at the front line getting slaughtered on both sides. You have tens of thousands of Jews coming in. I think the most recent figure I saw was 40,000 of them showed up and stepped off of planes and partied for an entire week, for an entire weekend. These guys just out in the streets, totally taken over, attacking Ukrainian civilians who are just walking around who aren't part of their little gambit. They just, you know, set upon them for good measure. Hey, let's go kill some Christians. Let's go beat the hell out of some Christians. I mean, these people are coming in and asserting their dominance over these people who they're then sending and feeding them into a meat grinder. And Zelensky, I never hear this talked about anymore. It was a big headline for a while, like a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, maybe at this point. You never heard it talked about anymore. And Zelensky banned Orthodox Christianity. That is who the United States government is propping up, this guy who bans Orthodox Christianity and then starts arresting clergymen, kind of like they do when Israel wants to steal land in the West Bank. So they go in and start arresting Christian and Muslim clergymen alike and start killing them and using nerve agents against them. That's the very same thing, same playbook they're using in Ukraine.
You know, it's the same exact war, and it's being carried out by the same exact people. The American war empire, the U.S. taxpayers, the military-industrial complex. They try to make this, you know, a divided effort and say, well, there's a war in Ukraine, and there's also this war in Gaza with Israel and Gaza. These are all proxy wars being fought by the same bad guys, being perpetuated by the same bad guys, and using, as you noted, the exact same playbook. You know, another thing that Zelensky did was he banned television channels or networks that were critical of his efforts, you know, in Ukraine, that were critical of the war crimes that were being committed, that were critical of the mass graves in the Donbass that have, you know, all of a sudden popped up under Zelensky's watch since he took the reins of power in that country when he was placed there by the CIA and by the American government by using bully tactics and by using, you know, kinetic warfare and death and weaponry to do that. This is a global force. The military-industrial complex tells you that they need to stockpile weaponry in case we need to go to war with Iran, or in case we need to liberate Taiwan, or in case we need to, you know, fight off the CCP, because we need to militarize our borders. We need more advanced weaponry. And then we send all of this stuff to Ukraine, we ship it all to Israel, and as you mentioned, this Greater Israel map now butts right up against New Khazaria, which is Ukraine, these borders that were established in 91, as you rightfully pointed out, after Vladimir Lenin's communist revolution. But when he was banning TV channels, what was Benjamin Netanyahu doing in Israel? They have murdered 262 journalists that were trying to cover the truth. Now, there have been previous wars where journalists have been killed. This is more than double, more than two times the amount of journalists that were killed in both World War I and Vietnam combined. And now they're dead in Israel or in Gaza because they don't want the truth to come out. And the truth is, it's the same entity. And the profiteers are all the same. And those that reap the benefit of the death and destruction that they're causing, you mentioned that these Russians are like basically, or Ukrainians, I guess you would call them now, are white Palestinians. They're Christian. They're Orthodox Christian, basically that version of the Palestinians. They are the same people because the goal is the same, to obliterate both of them. There's 1.8 million of them there that, you know, Israel has to get rid of so that they can enjoy their fantasy Jew land. And there's 1.8 million in Gaza that they have to get rid of. They just tell you that it's for a different reason. It's the same war. It's the same objective. Greater Israel is the objective. They're going to stop at nothing. The only thing that will stop them is force. And so our weapons, our surveillance state, all of that will then be turned inward and deployed against Americans. They'll use the Noahide courts of justice to prosecute Americans as Hamas support organizations or Hamas support networks if you're against any of this, if you speak out against any of this. And that infrastructure is already in place. And that's why I'm curious about the federalization of the police in Washington, D.C., and Trump's aspirations to try to kind of test the waters for systematically expanding that and challenging the constitutionality of all of this, and whether or not, you know, the response from the public will be vitriolic, or if they'll just accept the fact that we have armed soldiers now patrolling the streets. Who is it actually that he's preparing to fight? Because, you know, from every measure that I look here, I see that crime in D.C. is down. Crime in a lot of these other major cities is down. Are they still cesspits of blackness and unpredictable animals and savages that will, you know, just jump out and grab hold of your steering wheel while they rip you out of the vehicle like you saw in Ukraine and take your vehicle and all of the belongings, as I talked about earlier? Yeah, that's still going on. And that's because we've neutered, effectively castrated all of our local law enforcement, state law enforcement, county law enforcement. That was part of the Bolshevik revolution that was the summer of love here with, you know, George Floyd and all of the staged riots and the pallets of bricks showing up everywhere and Maxine Waters traveling from state to state trying to, you know, maximize the amount of damage that was done while cities were burning. I think they're still on fire in some cases. And all of the damage was done, you know, aesthetically as well, with the monuments that we talked about being torn down and replaced with, you know, George Floyd and Martin Luther King. We're seeing this everywhere. This is the byproduct of international Jewry. And wherever the Jew goes and wherever the financial interests of the Jew, BlackRock, State Street, Vanguard, wherever these interests go is where you find these wars. And the war is always the same. This is a group of actors. These guys get together in rooms just like they do in the WWE green room. These guys are all friends. They play their roles, the hero and the heel, the good guy and the bad guy. And the people who are unwilling to be a part of that theatrical presentation meet the fate of Adolf Hitler, Muammar Gaddafi, Saddam Hussein, Vladimir Putin, Bashar al-Assad. That's the fate that the people meet that are unwilling to participate in this big theatrical presentation, this movie that we're watching where real people are losing their lives, so that these people that gather in those green rooms and that talk about the match that they were just in, they all war game this all together. And then they employ the media to make people believe that this is a legitimate war effort that matters for national security in our country, the prosperity of America, when all of it is antithetical to that, because it really does the opposite. It puts us in more danger. Every time we go bomb some brown skin Muslim country, what happens? Those people are displaced. They get dispersed throughout the West. They come into the interior of our country via Alejandro Mayorkas and the Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society. They're given dirty bombs. They're given weapons caches. They're given all of the intelligence that they need to go into the interior of our country with resentment and hostility and hatred toward Americans who provided all of the bombs that just got done killing their kids that were in a hospital in Gaza, for example, trying to get medical attention. And that might have been the last working hospital, because there are none anymore. You know, this is all very obvious to anybody who wants to be bare naked honest with themselves. And Ukraine is a huge part of this. Frankie Stocks, you can find him more online at Real Stocks. That's his X account. The Based Report is here every day. And the Based Report is going to be expanding into its own full hour show here on the Stu Peters Network. That's by popular demand. And I think that Frankie Stocks is the top and most based reporter in America, has earned that slot. We'll be back.
The war on truth is heating up, and the Stu Peters Network is on the front lines. They're censoring your voice. They're silencing dissent. But we're not backing down. Join the Freedom Drive and take your support to the next level. When you subscribe to StuPeters.tv, you get exclusive, uncensored content, early access to documentaries they don't want you to see, direct access to the movement, and you help fund the fight against globalist tyranny. This isn't just a subscription, it's a stand. Be bold. Be informed. Be unfiltered. Join today at StuPeters.tv.
I'm going to ask you for your undivided attention because I'm going to tell you about what could possibly be the most important life-saving supplement that I have ever talked about. It's called Cardio Miracle. Each serving of Cardio Miracle has a combination of over 50 high-quality ingredients, including a huge variety of fruits, vegetables, amino acids, and herbs, all of which come together to promote your body's ability to produce nitric oxide. Nitric oxide is so important for heart health. It helps to relax and dilate your blood vessels, which supports blood flow and circulation. And I love that you don't have to take this giant pill to get all of this nutrition. No, Cardio Miracle comes in a powder formula, so it's really easy to mix all day throughout the day into juice or water and take it at any time. That also helps to support mood regulation because it's a neurotransmitter. It's a neuromodulator in the brain. So it can support the release of serotonin and dopamine, both of which are really important and involved in mood regulation. Cardio Miracle also supports mental clarity, sleep quality, energy levels. It can even help with recovery after exercise. Nitric oxide is essential for so many functions in the body, and Cardio Miracle supports the production of nitric oxide, so you get many benefits from just one supplement. Please go to highpowerheart.com. Again, highpowerheart.com. I'm telling you, this could quite possibly be the most important supplement that I will ever talk about. Cardio Miracle. Go to highpowerheart.com.
Patriots, it's time to start putting your dollars in the right pockets. Join me and my team on Zoom Wednesday, August 27th, to learn how this company is changing the game. Team up, take back your wallet. Let's move the movement.